It's time to get out of bed. Time to get out of bed. Amen? Boy, I've always, you know, back for 30 years, I got up at 3:30, 4 o'clock every morning to work at Ford. I had to be a lot of times an hour early for the shift, before the shift, to get the things prepped on the line. Gary did the same thing. I was a repairman and a utility man, he was too. We had to get in there early and build the lines up for the men to come in, you know, their operations to be ready to run. So we were always up, I was up early every morning. And I didn't have a problem with that. I had a problem with that when I was younger. I hated to get up early. And I worked on the railroad back when I was 19 years old. And I'd have to get up 3 o'clock every morning, have to drive 50 miles through the mountains. I mean, buddy, it's 50 miles and be like right now, you could drive it. And back then it took you an hour. You could drive it now in 20 minutes, but you couldn't back in those days. There wasn't any interstates or freeways in eastern Kentucky, just mountain roads, amen? Crooked than a dog's hind leg. And so I'd get up early. I didn't like that at all. But I got used to getting up early later on, and it doesn't bother me right now. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to get up at 4 now. I'm not going to get up at 4 now. I have no need to get up at 4. If I have to, I will. I got a time set. I usually get up between 6:30 every morning and get dressed and get in my study with the Lord for an hour and a half, 2 hours every morning, 7 days a week. I do that. That's what keeps you fresh in the Lord. Amen. You'll get stale in the Lord if you don't meet with God early. I'm telling you right now. That's why a lot of these preachers, I don't want to get off on that. That energizer's still working on me. I don't want to get off on that, man. But I want to preach my text, so you better pray for me this morning. I'll preach 4 or 5 sermons right there. Amen. All right. But anyway, that's what's wrong with a lot of preachers today. They don't get up early with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
And get fresh in the Word of God. And so they're stale all day long. They don't have a thought for you, a word for you. They're about as much encouragement as a tick on a dog. Yeah. And they don't really give you that much vigor at all.
Right.
Say, hey, man. Yeah. That's the truth. Brother George, you sit down here in the old Kentucky tent meeting. You can tell when a preacher comes to that pulpit who's been fresh in the Lord that day and freshened themselves up, can't you?
Right.
Amen. You can feel it, boy. You can tell it, too. You can sense the presence of God on that man of God. That's the way it ought to be. Anytime a man of God stands, preach the Word of God, he ought to be fresh in the Lord. Amen. Right. Get up early, not late in that day. Old Rudy Pink, when he first came here, I said, what time do you get up anyway, son? I get up at the crack of noon, he said. I said, well, I'll tell you right now, you're going to get up early than that if you're around here with me. I said, I'll beat on that door every morning. I'll get you up. I broke him with that stuff, crack of noon. Now he's up having a cup of coffee when I get over here to church early. Right. And so that ain't no good, is it? You get in a lull like that, and you miss out on the good things of God in your life today. You do, really. Now, what you notice here, laying in that bed is not good.
No,
I mean, I'm talking to every one of you. I'm talking to all of us. Laying in the bed when you don't need to, and you need to get in the bed too.
Right.
Bible says it's vain. It's vain for you to stay up late and then go and get up early.
Right.
Don't stay up late and then go to bed and get up early. You have the right rest when you do that,
right.
And you're going to be aggravated. You're going to be intimidated, and you're going to be irritable. You are. To others, you will. Sometimes you don't get the right rest, and so the body won't respond the way it's supposed to.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's
so you get in bed a little earlier,
right.
And get up early.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that helps you. It does. I want you to notice, if you will, this morning, on this thought, it's time to get out of bed. Our text that we've chosen here, verse 34 of Acts chapter 9, that it's time, it's high time for old Enos to get out of bed here. Amen. Look at that verse there, verse 34. It says, he said, and Peter said unto him, and let me read verse 33 with that. Peter found a certain man named Enos, which had kept his bed 8 years. He'd been in bed for 8 years. Now, I take that he had literally been in the bed, laying there, a flat of his back, maybe rolling side to side, but he'd been in the bed for 8 years. Amen? And then Peter came along there in verse 34, and he said, and notice he had palsy. He's sick with palsy. And you know, that palsy, I read up on palsy, and what it is, what the Webster's tells us that palsy is, it's a paralysis in the muscles of the body. So we can safely say it affects every muscle. The jawbone muscles, when you talk, amen. The muscles of the eyes, you know, your hands, when you feel, when you turn pages. to fix your ankle bones, you know, the muscle around your ankle bones when you walk, you know. And so it affects your entire body. Paralysis. It kind of paralyzes you. You can't do what you need to be doing. Right. Amen. And that was Enos' problem. He wasn't doing what he needed to be doing. The Lord had something in mind for Enos to do. Amen. I guarantee you, when God touches your body, and God touches your spirit, God does it for a reason. He don't just do it so you can feel better. He does it for a reason. We're left down here for a reason. We're not left down here to be on vacation our lifetime. We're left down here to be a witness for Jesus.
Amen.
Got to work for every one of us.
Right.
We're to occupy. It's a military term. We're soldiers of the cross. We're to stay on the front line for the Lord and occupy what Jesus bled and died for until he comes for us.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, he just wasn't no exception either.
Right.
They've been laying around his bed for 8 years.
Amen.
Keep in mind that 8 is the number of new beginnings.
Yes, sir, brother.
Buddy, I'm sure the Lord said, Enos, you've laid around long enough, son. Things are going to change.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Today's going to be a new day for you.
Yeah.
You're going to get out of that bed and get to work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly what I believe.
Amen.
And so, let me read that. Verse 34. It said, Peter said to him, Enos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. Put him to work right off, didn't he?
Right. Amen.
He said, make your bed. He didn't leave his bed tore up. He said, you make your bed up. And he arose immediately. And I want to tell you, when you get the touch of God on you, buddy, you won't fool around with it.
Amen.
Amen. The touch of God will change you.
Yeah.
I believe with all of my heart that probably, no doubt, maybe 70% of the church is lost today. The members of the local church are lost today. Amen. Never been saved. I believe probably about 70% of them are just religious,
yeah,
and they're lost. And I say that because they have their lifestyle hasn't changed one bit. Are you listening to me now? I want you young people especially to listen to me, because you're more gullible than anybody here in this room today. You're young. You think you know it all. You don't know anything, but the devil knows a lot more than you do, and you're gullible.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, for the trick of the devil and the snare of the devil.
Amen.
You haven't had a change in you since you supposed to got saved.
That's right.
Things aren't new.
Preach.
In the Lord.
Preach.
You're not living a new life.
Amen.
You haven't been saved. No, you're religious. Preacher. You're lost. You're going to hell.
That's all it is.
You could die today. You could die a lot sooner than this preacher, though I'm 65 years old.
Yep.
And probably 54 years older than you. Yet you could die today and be in hell for dark.
Darkness. Right.
And I could still be around here croaking 20 years from now.
That's yep. Right.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right, yeah. Yes, sir, brother.
Know where I'm coming from. Oh, the devil make you feel like you're going to live forever here on this earth.
You're right.
Don't pay attention to that old preacher. He don't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about, too.
Right.
Amen. I guarantee I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Though Enos had been in bed long enough, and God was starting his life anew. It's a number of new beginnings. Number 8 is. Amen.
Yeah.
And you can take that for what it's worth there. Praise God. And when God says, oh, behold, all things become new, he means exactly what he says. Old things pass away. Enos' bed pass away. He didn't go lay in bed any longer.
Right.
He
wouldn't
go by and say, well, I wouldn't like to go Enos come out and talk to him and sell the tree. But he never gets out of his bed. Somebody say, you know, I knew Enos when he was young. And, you know, we used to go fishing together all the time. He was a good fisherman, but I'd love to go fishing with Enos again, but you can't get him out of bed.
Yeah.
He's got paralysis. Hey, man, he could have got that paralysis just laying around too much. You'll jail up if you lay around too much.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you right now, that's why it's important to exercise and to work.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Have no retirement plan, any man he creates you.
Right. Amen.
Every once in a while, you got to get refired and never retar.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
And God has some greatness to do. And God's got something for you to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got paralysis. People not doing anything for the Lord. If they are God's people, they're paralyzed. They got paralysis. They got palsy. They got all their muscles that should be being used for the Lord are all choked up and glued together. They're jailed up. And you need to get a touch of God upon you.
Yeah.
Oh, when God puts his touch upon you, hallelujah, I guarantee you, you will be a new person.
Right. Amen.
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 Keep in mind what we're talking about now. Time to get out of bed. Amen. I mean, the text deals with Enos' body. He kept his bed 8 years. He was sick of the palsy. Amen. And He said, Jesus Christ, make thee whole in you, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. He didn't have to think it over. It didn't take him for a year to think about what had happened to him.
Right.
I tell you, when I got the touch of God on me to preach, buddy, I knew it immediately.
Yes, sir, bro.
I knew immediately God had called me to preach. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And it was a touch. It wasn't just a thought. I got a touch from heaven.
Amen.
Oh, I got a touch from heaven, buddy, just as powerful as you stick your finger in a 440 voltage. I'm telling you, I got a touch from glory when God called me.
Amen.
I ain't been the same since. You imagine Ohenius, 8 years in the bed, and God gave him a new beginning, a brand new beginning. Amen. Oh, I'm glad Ohenius found you, Ben. Hey, ain't no more enjoyable character than him, is he, Joe? No, Jim sure ain't. I mean, Ohenius, a good boy. You know, I forgot about how much he loved the Lord before he got in that bed and got bedfast. Now he's back on his feet out there rejoicing in the Lord, praising the Lord. Isn't it good to be around him? I just love his spirit, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what happens, buddy, when you get a new start in your Christian life. The Lord, or you get saved, either one.
Right.
Amen. Are you listening? Boy, the devil hates this kind of preaching.
Oh, yeah.
He just hates it. He does. But it's time for Enos to get out of faith. We read here in our text. In Mark chapter 2, verse 11, Jesus said unto the sick man with the palsy, he said, arise and take up thy bed. They told Enos to make his bed. He told this fellow to rise and take up his bed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's that word again, palsy. Paralysis of the muscles that move the human body. I'm telling you, I'm getting down where the rubber meets the road. This paralysis today is a disease in the church. It's found in the church, in the local assemblies today. People just aren't using their muscles that God intended for them to use for the glory of God. They're not walking to the place that God wants them to walk. They're not shaking the hands of people that God wants them to meet and talk to them and use these jaw muscles, amen, to talk with the people that they shake their hand with, that they walk to their house and knock on their doors, amen. No, they got paralysis. They're not, listen, they got paralysis from the devil. They're not using their muscles the way God wants them to for his honor and glory.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And Jesus wants that taken away. Now, preacher, how do you do that? Well, through the word of God. How else? Right. Everything rises and falls on the leadership of that book.
Right.
The leadership of that book. When you get it from the voice of a preacher, he gets it from the book. And he gets his leadership from Jesus, amen, from heaven. From the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost of God moves upon him.
Yeah.
As he studies, as he prays, as he lives and moves in God, God gives him the leadership that he needs. And it's up to the people to accept that leadership and is allowed to do what he tells them to do.
Amen.
That's how God does it. If he doesn't want to do it another way, he does it another way. But that's how he is reported to you in the Word of God that he does it, and he'll continue to do it that way. I'm telling you, there's paralysis in this church right here, too.
Amen.
Not as bad as most of them.
Right.
There's some paralysis in here.
Amen.
And you need to take up your bed.
Right.
Make up your bed.
Right.
And start anew for the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you got that paralysis over a number of years.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. There's a time when you put those muscles to work for the Lord. Right. And everything that took place, you was right there. Ready to serve God, but you've got an abandonment of the Lord. You've got an ease and time. You lay down on God, you've got complacent in the Lord. You've got paralysis, you've got palsy, you've got spiritual palsy, and you need a new touch of the Lord upon you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Rise and take up thy bed. Immediately they had to go to work, didn't they? One had to make his bed, the other had to take his bed up. Put it on his back, probably wasn't that big. I refer to this one time. I preached a message one time. More to it than that. And I used the Samaritan woman at the well. She left her pot. And I said, you need to leave your pot. I ain't talking about the kind you smoke in your pot. So you need to leave your pot. Then another one, Jesus sent a man and bought some ground. He left and he told the servants to occupy until he came. I said, you need to occupy the spot.
Right.
He told them to occupy the spot. And then I used this here to take up his cot.
Yeah.
There was three things that you need to do. You need to leave behind your pot. And her pot was her most prized possession, her water pot.
Right.
Amen. Then you need to occupy the spot. This is Good Shepherd Baptist Church. This is the spot you're not supposed to occupy right here.
Amen.
Amen. Then you're to take up your cot. Quit laying around on the Lord. Take your cot. Amen. Make it up. Take it up.
Right.
You got palsy. Yeah. You got spiritual palsy. You're not using those muscles for the Lord. Well, you ought to be.
Right.
If I just quit preaching all of a sudden, what'd you tell me? What'd you think? You'd think I had palsy, wouldn't you? Right.
Amen.
If I just quit voicing, if I just quit letting the Lord use my tongue to speak for Him
right.
on His behalf, I'd have spiritual palsy. But what about you?
Right.
You're the same way.
Yeah. Amen.
You quit visiting. You quit witnessing to people. You quit coming out on work day and working out here on the ground. That's your use your hands and your arm muscles. Why? I've had people tell me, well, I'm 50 years old. I'm old. I'm 65 now. I went through that 50-year period 15 years ago. I'm still working like the rest of them in 65.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
I might have been all jailed up now if I hadn't kept working for the Lord. Say amen out there.
I'm going to keep working for the Lord. If I live to be 90, praise God, I'll be out here on work day. I'll guarantee you I will. For the grace of God, I'll be out here on work day.
Amen.
25 years from now, God lets me live like He did a little sorrow.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll promise that to God Almighty right now in the sight of His people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Of course, I don't believe we're going to be here 25 more years. I really don't. The palsy is a paralysis in the muscles of the body. What we're talking about is the body of Christ.
Amen.
But ye are the body of Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I know we all make up the body of Christ, but then it's a personal thing too. And I am the body of Christ. I am.
Right.
Amen. I really am. I'm the body of Christ. And so the Lord doesn't want that paralysis of the muscles. We see in our text that God doesn't want it concerning us. Amen.
Amen.
Now in Amos 6 and verse 1. Here's a good scripture. He said, the prophet Amos said, woe. And boy, I don't like a woe to be upon me.
Amen.
You know, over in Revelation, it talks about the woes of past, and one woe still yet to come. I don't like that word referred to me by the Lord.
Amen.
Now, he said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion.
Yeah.
Amen. We can easily translate that, I believe, and not do any damage to the scriptures, tribulation and trouble to them that are at ease in Zion.
Right.
Amen. They're complacent. That's what he's talking about, complacency. Just not worrying, not giving a hang about anything. I'll go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but I'm not going to get involved in, boy, I got my feelings hurt. Somebody talked about me.
I can't take it anymore.
I hate that. You call a soldier of Christ. Listen, what if somebody get on the battle and say, I can't find you, you take my gun, I ain't going to shoot nobody. They'd probably shoot him.
Amen.
What do you think you're on now? You're on the battlefield. You're on the front line for Jesus, amen. You ain't got no room for feelings like that.
Right.
Got no time for it. We're running out of time.
Right.
That's why he said, woe to them that are at ease or complacent in my house or my work
right.
of the body of Christ in Zion. Amen?
Amen.
So I find four or five things here. Maybe 8 or 10, I don't know. Depends on how long this stuff lasts. Number one, write them down. The body of Christ should be a busy body. A busy body. Now we use that word all the time, and you're using it in its context. The right context, a busybody is somebody that tattles. It runs here to there. If you go to 1828 Webster, this is what I tell you. Go here to there, there to here, I mean everywhere. Spreading out of gossip, which God hates.
Right.
He hates it. Sowing discord. Are you listening to me now? Sowing discord among the brethren is an abomination to the Almighty.
Amen.
And these preachers run around talking about every preacher that they know, always picking and calling and telling this one, that one, this and that. I tell you right now, they're an abomination to God, Brother George.
Amen.
If they're not, then the Bible's a lie. God said that's an abomination to Him. Am I right?
Amen.
How many of you know that? I can't keep their long tongue in their mouth.
Amen.
All the time running their mouth about one another.
And some of these, the lay people, the same way. I always talk about a man of God, he don't look just a so-to, or he preaches not just a so-to, you're ready to pounce upon him with a knife.
Right.
I hate that.
Amen.
I despise that. Busybody, always running to and fro, telling things. But God wants us to be a busybody, but he wants us to be busy about what the body of Christ should be doing. He wants this church to be a busy body.
Right.
Busy, amen. We stay pretty busy. We do. I see good. I'll show you why here in a moment. I believe a church needs to be busy, or they get too idle. They get too complacent. And they start talking. They start having have these little cliques come up. Or you know, the whole church falls apart. Mm-hmm. Amen. It basically, it boils down to the fact pastor's too lazy to get involved in things. So he lays back. If he lays back, I'll guarantee the church will lay down.
Right.
But the pastor's the leader. And everything rises and falls on leadership.
Amen.
If a pastor won't do it, he won't lay things out there for the church to do. The church ain't going to do it. They don't have to do it.
Amen.
And it's his fault.
Amen.
And God will deal with him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You cannot say that I've been like that. You've been here. I've got people been with me from the very beginning, almost 30 years. You cannot say that I have been like that. Amen. I have never been complacent. And the reason I haven't been complacent is God won't let me be complacent. And I'll obey the Lord.
Right.
Fear God. I've got to fear God in me. That's why I do things God tells me to do. I fear him. That's the beginning of wisdom. You'll never have any wisdom. Listen to me. You'll all be a bunch of dumbbells until you get some fear of God in you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. And a man of God's got some fear of God about him. He's going to keep his people busy for the Lord. He's going to be volunteering for things like our camp meeting. What a blessing that is to the body of Christ. You'll never know what, you know, old A.C. Durham started coming up here 2 or 3 years ago. He was one of the instigators of building Sand Mountain Baptist Camp, great camp with Fred Vaught years ago. And O.A.C. stood right down here last week, looked up at me with tears almost in his eyes. He said, "Brother Duncan, if I lived up here, right here would be my church. I'd be a part of this church right here." Amen.
Yeah.
You know why he said that? He's seen something in this church.
Right. Amen.
He's seen the fear of God about it, but not enough.
Right.
Some of you don't have the fear of God about you like you ought to have.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But this camp meeting and the way the women labor out here in the kitchen and the way people labor and build this camp up and the way we've done it, we haven't asked anybody for any money. We've asked God for it.
Right.
And every penny that's went in this camp, Brother George, it's because of the Lord.
Amen.
Never sold anything, never intended to raise money. Don't believe in it.
Amen.
I preach out against that. I don't care if it's an independent or non-independent. I don't care who it is. I'll preach right to their face. You're wrong. Go out and sell stuff and raise money to do the Lord's work.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. Praise God. Body of Christ should be a busy body. Don't be busy about the master's business.
Right.
Busy body. Amen.
Amen.
Now in John 9 verse 4, the Bible says, "The night cometh when no man can work." And get that into your head. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
The night's coming. We're not going to be able to work. So we better work. As long as while we can work, we better work until Jesus comes. And do what we can do for the Lord. Don't gripe about it. Amen.
Amen.
Don't talk to somebody in the wrong way about it. All he wants us to do is this. Well, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I don't want you to work for the Lord here if you're like that. You stay at home, you get right with God.
Amen.
I don't want you. You might put something in my food anyway if you're that mean. I don't want you feeding me. I don't want you cooking for me if you've got that kind of an attitude about you. If you can't do it and be happy in the Lord, don't do it. We'll put somebody to replace you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You ask my men, buddy, I guarantee you, when the way men get together, if there's one driving grass, I said, "Well, maybe you need to go home and rest a little bit."
Right. Amen.
Brother Jim had not done it. I stopped what we were doing, had prayer. Oh, Lord, let's give us the right spirit. We can't work. We don't have the right spirit working together. I will put up with it. Man comes out picking and griping about why he has to be out here. I've seen him packing, buddy, right back to the house.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you right now, I will. Now, I want to tell you something. My wife has received instruction from this preacher, this pastor. She is over that dining hall out there.
Amen.
She is over that dining hall right there. So don't you talk down to her, none of you.
Amen.
She tells you to do something. If you don't feel like doing it, tell her. If you don't want to do it, she can get somebody else to do it.
Amen.
But she's over that dining hall right there, and that's her domain. Amen. I don't have time to deal with it. My wife deals with it. She has for years. She's put a big part of her life into that dining hall, into the feeding of God's people. Don't you dare talk down to her and act like you're the boss.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I won't put up with any of it down there at that tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're right.
Buddy, I rule the roost down there under the leadership of Jesus. She does the same thing here. Some of you don't like it. We'll have an altar call in a minute. You can get right with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. So we find here the body of Christ should be a busy body. That's the church. Here's another one. A busy body will be a blameless body.
Right.
Be a blameless body. If we're busy in the Lord's work, we'll be blameless of the snares and the pitfalls and the nonsense of the devil.
Right.
People won't be up pointing their fingers toward us. We'll be busy for the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Remember how David got out there and on the terrace? Find the scripture over there, and I'm not going to go there for time's sake. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, how that David got out there on the terrace.
Yeah.
And the Bible says at a time when kings went forth to battle, and he was out there on his terrace, on his back porch, walking around twiddling his fingers, and saw Bathsheba down there about half, I don't know, I have an idea, she might have had herself down. Of course, today that's accepted. Most women walk around half their breasts sticking out today.
Right. You're right, Richard.
That's probably what she had, you know, mm-hmm. probably washing herself.
Right.
And David was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Amen.
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 He wasn't blameless.
Right.
Right.
He should have been on the battlefield with Joab and the rest of the host.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He should have.
Yep.
And so, you know, the final outcome of it, he sent for her, he had relations with her. And then he liked her so well that he wanted her for his own. So he had her husband put on the harness from the battle, and so he could be killed and he'd get back to him. And he did all that. Now, I don't know what was in David's mind. What is in your mind? You think you can do things behind the church's back and the preacher's back, and God doesn't see you.
Right. Amen.
God sees everything you do.
Amen.
Thought and the intent of your heart, and if you're intending to please your flesh and go against the grain of God and against the preaching of this preacher, you're asking for trouble.
Right. Amen.
You'll get it. He said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, boy, that's good preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right. A busybody. David wasn't blameless. No, he wasn't. Now listen to what God said to him. There in chapter 11, verse 14. The Lord said unto David there, howbeit, because by this deed, what you've done, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme.
Right.
What he's saying, you've given place to the devil.
Right.
Now you've given the devil something to talk about. Here you're the king that I anointed, that I sent the prophet Nathan down. Samuel down to anoint,
right.
and called you the man after my own heart, somebody I could trust with my flock, and now you played right into the hands of a low down stinking devil. You knew you were wrong, yet you did it.
Yeah.
Now you've given the devil something to talk about me, something to say about me. Give my enemies, God, give my enemies great occasion, my friend. Listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. Look up here. You do something contrary to what's been preached and the standards of this church. Are you listening to me? You're giving the devil something to talk about and attack this preacher and this church.
Right.
You and you alone are responsible.
Amen.
Right.
Now you all you need to do is study the punishment of David and the disciplinary measures that God took against David and figure out your own disciplines you got to.
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
If he was disciplined one, that he called a man with his own heart, you know he's not disciplined you.
Right.
Amen.
You're crazier than I thought you were.
You're right. Good preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's the truth. I don't want to get into it on David's punishment. What I'm saying is that he was not blameless.
Right.
Amen. What he did. Here's another one. A busy body, not only will be a blameless body, but it'll be a boasting body. A boasting, a bragging body. Same word.
bragging body.
That's right.
You'll be out bragging on Jesus.
Amen.
You'll be out boasting about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You know, let me tell you something. I don't have anything against sports, but when you're so sports minded, all you can talk about is your sports. You never open your mouth about Jesus or God. You are out of the will of God. You hear me? I don't care who you are.
Right.
I had a family leave me.
Amen.
Because I preached on that very thing. They had their children in ball on Wednesday night, ball on Sunday sometimes, ball, 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 ball. But they never did anything for the Lord.
Right. Amen.
I don't have anything against sports. Sports all right, long as don't have you.
Right.
What's got you, you're no good to God. I'll burn it up in my preaching. I'll tear it to pieces. I was called to do that.
Amen.
To tear down and to build up. Am I right, Brother George?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Tear not, tear down the things that come against God.
Amen.
The things of the devil and build up the faith.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. That's what I'm called to do.
Yes, sir.
Don't come in here and expect anything else but.
Amen.
Amen. Had a family visit here last week. And I could tell when they shook my hand and the tone of their voice. Seemed like the Holy Ghost said it'd be a miracle if they come back. Mm-hmm. They ain't come back. And like what I had to say about these old, I know what it was, these old perversions, these old things they call the Bible.
Right.
I tore them up.
Right.
I preached on why I love the church, and one of the reasons why I love the church is the Bible that she has.
Yeah.
And that's the King James Bible.
Amen.
I'd belittle all the rest of them for the pieces.
Amen.
I never did agree with some of these priests up here and around here, an adversary that claim to use a King James, but they won't call the New American Standard the work of the devil. Because it has scripture in it. Why did the devil point the scripture to the Son of God himself?
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, when you take 35 verses out of the New American Standard, you take 35 verses of the Bible out and create the New American Standard version, that is a work of the devil.
Amen.
And most all your Southern Baptist preachers preach it. I tell you, buddy, judgment's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They ain't like that. They quite come out of the Southern Baptist church.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Busybody be a boasting body. You boast about the Lord.
Amen.
You'll brag on what the Lord did for you. Did for you, what he's doing for you, what he's going to do for you. You will.
Right.
You'll brag on heaven. You'll brag on your church. You'll brag on your preacher. If you got a preacher that you don't feel like you can brag on, you'll find you another preacher.
Right.
If your preacher ain't good enough for you to brag on him, the Lord every once in a while, and you come to him and say, oh, preacher, that was a good message today that you preached.
You know, I've got people that never have been here for years and never one time come to me and say, boy, I enjoy that message. I take it and you don't enjoy anything I preach. You never come to me.
I don't need you to worship me.
Right.
But even that, you will encourage me every once in a while.
Right.
Crowd. I've got to all of you do that. But I've got people that never come to me and say, preacher, that's a good message.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it's hitting in a hole where you're hiding, really, you don't do it.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Psalmist said there in Psalm 44 and verse 8, in God, listen to this, in God, it's got to be done in God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. That includes boasting above all things. Don't boast on yourself. In God, we boast all the day long. What about that? We brag all the day long in God. All the day we brag. We brag. Amen. Son, I know it's God in me to preach. I couldn't preach the way I did if it depended upon your congratulations.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost congratulates me. That's all I need. Really, I'm just telling you that you are at ease in Zion. You are paralyzed when it comes to the glory of God, and you need to get. You need to be afresh.
Right.
God needs to give you a touch.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Have a new beginning. Busy body be a boasting body. Also, we find a busy body is a blessed body. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That word blessed is rendered happy. Happy.
Yeah.
I guarantee the body of Christ, is a happy body when it's busy
mm-hmm.
for the Lord.
Right.
I'm at my happiest when I'm busy. Brother George, I'm telling you. When I'm knocking on a door and talking to somebody about Jesus, Whether I'm at the store, I find myself, everywhere I go, I try to strike up a conversation with somebody about the Lord and brag on Jesus everywhere I go.
Right.
I go to the hospital, when I go to the receptionist, I give her a card. I track. I said, boy, the Lord good. He's so good. God's taking care of this. And then they send me in here, and I'll do the same thing with them. They send me over here, and do the same thing with that. Send me over here, and do the same thing with that. I go back to the waiting area, the same thing with that. I mean, it's a continual thing with me.
Right.
And I'm as happy as I can be when I'm serving the Lord, when I'm bragging on Jesus.
Amen.
Tell you right now, a church that's busy for the Lord's a happy church. They got a smile on their face. They're not down and out all the time.
Amen.
They're happy in their homes with their families. Happiness is the Lord. But the little, what's the little song when the little children used to sing? Happiness is serving the Savior. It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where happiness is. You can't get it in the world.
Right.
Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Jesus said. It's not like the worldly peace. And it seems to me like a lot of people today that claim to be Christians are seeking after the peace, the nonsense peace. It don't amount to a hill of beans that the world can give you.
Right.
Well, my peace is in God.
Amen.
Amen. Busy body is a blessed body. Amen. That even goes with the physical body.
Right.
You stay busy working. When you retire, you just sit down, you ain't going to be happy. You will not be happy. Am I right? Raise your hand if y'all agree with me. You'll not be happy. And when you retire, if you just sit down and be an old mullet grub, you'll die young. You'll die young. You won't live long. Even in the physical world, busy body is a happy body. Amen. This is just simple logic that I'm giving to you today. Amen. It shouldn't be hard for you to understand and to receive. Amen. Busy body is a blessed body. He said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. In Luke 12, verse 37. Busy. Buddy, when you're watching for the Lord, you're busy for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You're watching for the Lord, you're busy for the Lord.
Right.
This is what the Lord wants us. Amen. Busy body is a blessed body. Now, let me say this to you. I'm just about through. Talking about Enos being in his bed for 8 years. Amen. It was time for him to get out of bed. And God used Peter to go there and preach to him. Tell him what he needed to do, touch him and pray for him and touch him and he healed him. The Lord did. That doesn't tell us anything else about Enos. I don't think I'm wrong on that. We don't have anything recorded about Enos later over farther, about him doing some great feats for the Lord or anything. We do about John Mark. He kind of got out, didn't he? And he got back and he became a blessing to Paul. Several of them did.
Right.
But Enos didn't say anything. But I'm sure, buddy, that Enos was greatly used of God farther on down the line. He had a job for him to do. Amen? And so we find then, saying all that, I'm trying to save a little time here, you can't stay in bed. You can't stay in bed and expect to be fed.
Amen.
You can't.
Right.
You can't do it. I guarantee you think I would? You think my grandchildren stand over my house? Well, lay there all covered up, and I carry their food to them in bed. I won't do it. Now I'd carry somebody's food to them in bed if they couldn't get out of the bed. They're so sick if they couldn't get out of the bed. Amen.
Right.
But just to lay in the bed half the day and say, "I'll take my breakfast in bed today," if you don't mind, that wouldn't eat anything in my house.
Amen.
And you get up and come to the table just like I've done.
Right.
Amen.
And you can't be fed the Word of God if you stay in bed. You can't get out of bed, get in your Bible. Amen?
Amen?
Let me give you another. You can't stay in bed and expect to be led.
Right.
You can't be led if we're just laying in the bed all the time. You can't do it if you get up and get dressed. You know where God will lead you to? He'll lead you to the Word.
Yeah.
And he'll feed you out of the Word. He'll give you drink out of the Word. He said, my Word is meat indeed, and my Word is wine, is blood, is water.
Right.
So you'll quench your spiritual thirst, you'll quench your spiritual hunger. God will lead you to that.
Amen.
And God will lead you to somebody to witness to.
Right.
I always ask the Lord to lead me. I always say, Lord, help me say a word to somebody along the way today. It'll make a difference in eternity.
Right.
Good little prayer. Let's pray that. Lord, help me be a blessing to somebody. Later on, they'll be a make a difference in eternity in their life.
Right.
And we're here not for this life. I disagree with Sam Jones. Old Sam Jones, I read his autobiography, the old Methodist preacher. And he said, my ministry is make a difference in life today. I don't believe that.
I believe every child of God, every man of God is called by the Lord to make a difference in eternity.
That's right. Amen.
Not in this life. Right. You can make a difference in eternity in somebody's life. It's naturally going to be better. Society is going to benefit. But that's not the chief goal to make a difference in right now. Right. Now, Jesus comes. You know, Billy, some people walk like that.
Amen.
They work. They really, they kind of hobnob with people I wouldn't hobnob with today. I'm going to separate, let me tell you, I'm going to separate Sam Jones ever was. I read his autobiography, I know about it. Billy Sunday's too. They associate with people I wouldn't associate with. Anything I'd ever do to them, witness to them, preach to them, I wouldn't run with them. I don't run with the world, buddy.
Right.
I do not run with the world. I don't let the world run with me.
Right.
And I never let the world, I won't let my children run with the world. My grandchildren, I want them run with the world. I don't want to, I'm going to tell you something else. Unseparated Christians, I don't want to run with them either.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
I wouldn't want my granddaughters walking around with the little unseparated girls with short tucked hair. No, I wouldn't.
Amen.
And hear me, that's exactly the way I feel. And I'm right on the Word of God when I say that.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Children don't dress like Christians.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
That's one thing I like about the Amish. I don't believe in their doctrine, but I guarantee you one thing. They dress.
Right.
You'll see Amish out with their breasts sticking out all puffed up.
Yeah. No, sir. Right.
And dresses come clear up to here.
Amen.
And their thighs.
Good.
You don't see that in the Amish people.
Amen.
It's a shame when people that call themselves old pastor, Bible believing, fundamental, independent, fundamental, blood Christians will let almost a cult outdo them in their dress.
Right.
Amen.
Am I right, brother?
Oh, yeah.
I know them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I didn't get these convictions overnight.
Right.
It's a progressive thing. God teaches a man and woman. When you're not being taught, I'm telling you, you're still going doing the things that you did 25, 30 years ago when you supposedly got saved. You better examine yourself. Because my convictions got stronger. Once I got them, they didn't get weak. They got stronger.
Amen.
I had a preacher one day tell me, well, he called himself a preacher. I don't believe he was a preacher. He got caught up in whoredom later on after that. Thought it was his own sister-in-law. Having an affair with his own sister-in-law. Low down wretch.
Right.
Amen. Well, he said, my pastor don't preach like he used to. He said, he's got to wait and all that stuff about preaching on pants on women and this and that. I said, praise God I have, son.
Amen.
Don't you know right now I'm stronger than I used to be, young. Not weaker.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
If you don't like my preacher, go get you one of these fabulous so-called preachers and listen to them. See what good they'll do you.
Right. Amen.
Run, you children.
Amen.
God help us today. Watch this one I needed, Brother Scott. That's praise God. I might drink you one in for every service. Can't stay in bed and you expect to be fed. Can't stay in bed and expect to be led. I got one more and I'll shut up. You can't stay in bed and expect to get ahead.
Right.
Amen.
That's true. That's true.
How many of you are going to draw a paycheck if you stay in bed and not going to work? Nobody. Raise your hand. So I know you didn't feel like coming in. We're just going to pay you anyway. Well, I know you need a week off or a month off, 2 months. And we knew where you were at all the time you were home in bed. We're going to write you a paycheck anyway. We think that much of you. Yeah. Lord. Believe that nonsense. I could see the sermon meant bridge down here. Louisville, amen? That's right.
Yep.
You're not going to get ahead in the Lord's work if you stay in the bed on the Lord.
Right.
You're not.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to be out and about the master's business.
Mm-hmm.
You should, now I'll tell you something, you should be in every service here. You not be late, then you'll be punctual.
Hey.
You hear me? Like I said, many, I don't know how many times, if we're in every service here, you can put in about 8 hours. That's it. Unless we have a work day, you put in about 8 hours for the Lord out of 7 24-hour days. 7 24-hour days, you put in about 8 hours. You figure it up, the time we spend here for service, and see what it comes to.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You spend more time running your mouth.
Right.
Amen.
And fooling with foolishness. And you do for the work of the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You ought to be here for Bible school on Sunday morning. You ought to be here in time to pray for the services,
amen,
for the teachers, for the preacher.
Amen.
You ought to be back You'll be at the church. You'll be back for prayer Sunday evening. Have your children here for little classes we have for them. You're slighting your children's little brain. I'm going to tell you something. These people don't brag. I don't care who it is. Don't brag. And I said, the whole church was here. I don't care. You know I don't. I got to face that long. When it comes to preaching the word of God, I get as bold as a lion and an eagle. When it comes to preaching, I'll preach what God gives me to preach.
Right. Amen.
These people that have been coming here for years that don't see that it's going to help their children, their little children, to bring them to Sunday school and Bible school.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to tell you, they'll stand in judgment for it. Maybe in this life. Because I knew some family years ago that was like that with their boys. And they just real complacent when it comes to having their children in church every service, living for God. Now I think they're both out of church. And they're men now. They're out of church. That's what you'll have. It's exactly what you'll have. Amen. That's right. You can't get ahead in the things of the Lord. You stay in bed.
Amen.
You can't do it. God wants us all to prosper.
All right.
And the things of God, number one. And I believe, I really believe, I'm not saying you'll be rich. I'm not saying you're going to become a billionaire because you're faithful or a millionaire. It has happened. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll have things a lot better and a lot easier physically, I believe, and material-wise,
amen,
if you'll serve the Lord first.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You'll put Him first. I believe that. I do. He said, first seek ye the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. He makes you to prosper.
Amen.
All the promise that all the gold and silver is His. What do you think He told us that for? Just so we can know that? And all the gold and silver is God's? What good is gold and silver if you don't use it?
Amen.
God's got it.
Right.
We don't have enough faith to get it. And how do you get faith? By hearing, hearing the word of God. You're the preacher, you're the teacher, you study the word of God, you walk with God, you talk with God, you live for God, and you see to it that your children, who you've been given guardianship over, you're their parents, that they do the same thing.
Amen.
You lay back and let the worldly functions take over the things of God. You lay back on your haunches and just don't worry nothing about it, buddy. You've got a woe coming to you.
Amen.
The only woe I want is I want to pull back on a rein and say, whoa, I need to start serving God better.
Amen.
That's the only woe you'd want. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the preaching and the teaching.